The first reading for today is from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text is our reading from Romans today from the Apostle Paul. And really what this is dealing with is a level of respect for God, recognition of who we are before the Lord and what that means now for us as a people of God. The word respect carries all kinds of depth to it, depending on where that respect is going. Let's do a little quick survey around the room. Okay, at least 3/4 of the room know the name George Burns. And then a few of you are, huh? Yeah, because he'd been gone a while too, but he was around forever. George Burns is a comedian of days gone by. And he did outlive a lot of folks from his generations. George Burns, when he had reached the age of 85, and this was quite a while back now, when he had reached the age of 85, he observed that it was a very comfortable stage in life. And he said, I was always taught to respect my elders. And now I'm so old that I don't have anybody left to respect. Such can happen, in a sense, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, I'm not going to dance. That's as far as I go in the song, too, but respect, there's songs about it. It's something that everybody wants. It's something that everybody thinks that they deserve, and we do. We should respect each other. July 4th is about respect for us as a country. The freedoms we have and enjoy in this country is a Christian society. The freedoms we have, in particular, recognizing that we were formed as a Christian country from our early fathers. This is something that is important to us, hopefully, still today. But it's something that we tend to forget as we deal with governments. And it's governments around the world. It's our own government in the United States. The question kind of comes out, must government always by necessity be corrupt? It doesn't need to be, but all governments that ever have existed have been corrupt in some way or another. There's no perfect worldly form of government that has ever existed. The ideas are there, the hopes are there, perhaps. Some we know are just outright bad, but we know even as a nation we're never satisfied because depending on who's in control, there's always some people that believe that things are not the way that they should be. That's the way it's always been, the way it's always going to be with our secular society. Paul deals with this from a Christian view of government in Romans 13 when he talks to us and he says that respect, we are to pay respect to whom respect is due. And specifically, this is applying regarding the areas of paying taxes and obeying civil authorities and respecting people. So Wesley Snipes and Willie Nelson both go to jail for not paying taxes. We're supposed to pay the taxes. That's the way things are set up. But respecting those who deserve respect, to whom respect is due, there's a line that gets drawn in there because we also understand that we respect God rather than man. So where leaders oppose God, that's where we draw the line. But in those things where they don't oppose God, we obey. Having a speed limit is not against God's word. It's just not. So we obey our government. Or we say yes sir, no sir, or yes ma'am, no ma'am to the officer that pulls us over. And we respect them at that point then. Otherwise we know things don't necessarily go well for us. We respect. We show respect. But then the one to whom the respect is due the most, the Lord, we're not showing the respect that we should perhaps. When you come in here, when you come through the doors into the sanctuary, do you have a healthy respect for the Lord at that particular moment? Are you thinking about the fact that I am coming into this place to sing praises to my God? I am coming into this place to hear His word, to hear those scriptures read again, to speak those scriptures verses back and forth, to speak my confession, to hear absolution and forgiveness, to know that God has given me hope and life. Do you come in with a healthy respect for God? Or do we come in here and just think, well, get right back down to, you know, looking at what's going on in the bulletin, what's coming up in the week ahead, writing down our notes about what we need to do today or still get at the grocery store on the way home, or thinking about a ton of other things instead of actually thinking about God? I think too often we bring God to a level of trivia, and He's part of our week, but He's not all of our week and all of our life. He's part of what we do on even on Sunday, but He's not all of our life. With the Lord Begin the Task is a song that we sang in our meeting with the board and the elders yesterday. And that's something, if we think about it each and every day, take that out into our day, remember that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not I'm going to rejoice if I can. Not I'm thinking about it, I think I can. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because I already know that God has already blessed me. We need to worship and with reverence come before God each and every opportunity. I had a fellow pastor, a friend of mine, many, many, many years ago now, when I served a country in Lee County, Texas, kind of a heart of Lutheranism in the state of Texas there. That's where really most of it began for all the Lutheran churches in the state. Old church, old congregation. At that time, the school was 110 years old already when I got there. And there was one pastor that he worked down at Camp Lone Star. Henry B.R., I'll go ahead and tell you his name. He's a great guy. He's up north right now. Henry B.R. the second. Henry B.R. Sr., we called respectfully the Bishop of San Antonio, just because he had been down there so long. So, yeah, he's the bishop, and he was such a great guy. Whatever he said, yeah, we'll buy it. Sure, Henry, yeah, absolutely. His son didn't have that same respect. He was younger, of course, but his son showed this awesome respect that I learned from him. And I still don't do it myself, but it's something that was unique. We had a school, and whenever he would come through from the office area, when he was helping us with chapel or coming up there to the school, because his wife also worked there, daughter went there, but he would walk through the office, and you had to go through the sanctuary to get to the education wing. And every time he came by, he would walk through the front, and whether anybody was in there, he didn't notice if somebody was in there. It didn't matter if folks were there or not there. He always, when he got to the center of where the altar was, where the chancel was, he would always, he's walking along, and he'd get up there, and he'd bow. And sometimes he'd stop and bow. Sometimes he was walking. Sometimes he was running, and he'd do this kind of running, you know, and then just keep going. But he always shows this reverence to the altar area, recognizing that this is a place that's set aside as something special. This is a place that is unique, and it's also a place that reminds me of God and my relationship. Even if I'm in a hurry, I know that this place is special in my heart because it's where I'm with God at times in my life. And there are other places like that for us as too, but it was just a unique thing to always see Him reverence that altar, even at high speeds. Still did it. Do we approach God with all due respect? Do we approach, there are some churches where it's the tradition that when you came in, and this was actually in some of the old Lutheran churches too, not just other denominations, but when you come into the sanctuary, before you actually went in your pew, you would bow, or ladies would do the curtsy, and you know, and then they would go in and sit down. And when you got out and you left, you would also, you know, reverence the front and turn around and when you left. And I'm not saying we need to do things like that, because they don't necessarily carry the same meanings in people's lives today as they used to. But we need to do whatever it is that does show our respect to God. And whether that's coming in here and praying, coming in here and focusing on God just in the scriptures, or coming in here and looking through the bulletin and looking at what we're going to be doing, coming in here and knowing that this is something special that's about to happen. I'm going to be together with the family and praise God. Because if we have a lack of respect for God, we're going to have a lack of respect for other people. It's just the way it's going to work. If we're not showing Him the proper respect, we're not going to show the proper respect to others. Why would we? That in our text, it notes, there is no authority except from God and those that exist that have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. He even talks about our relationship with others as our relationship with Him first. If we're not going to respect God, we're not going to respect the other authorities. If we're not going to respect the other authorities, then we're already not respecting God. Now, this is where they are working according to God's word, of course. Still, we obey God rather than man. Our country was founded on a respect for God. When our forefathers realized that they could no longer handle the oppression of an English king, that it was intolerable. And this is one of those neat things. You got to read the things from the other side of the pond. And there were, you know, those rebellious colonists. You know, you have a different perspective on which side you're on of things, always. But the perception here is, you know, we can't deal with this anymore, and we need to serve God. And so our country was founded on a relationship with God in the United States. We broke away, and we had that understanding in our founding principles that all men are created equal and are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. You know, and that's who we are as a people. We're supposed to be a people of God, to follow God, and that's how we established ourselves even at the very beginning. Today we recognize, as we're getting into this Independence Week, the opportunity again to remember that there's an oppression that we face, even greater than we have faced in the past as a people in the world. And it's because of the spiritual realm we face the oppression of the devil. And that's something that has always been faced, but needs to be understood greatly in this day and age, how much he has an influence over the world and over the things of this world. And he infiltrates everything from the media, the television, the radio, the print, the computers, the things that the billboards out there, things that distract us from the Lord all kinds of ways. The devil is active, and he does his job very well. There's a bondage and a cruel oppressor that we face, the sin, death, and the devil. We are powerless. We are powerless against this. That's where Christ comes in, because he died and rose for us. He gives us a freedom that we would have no way of achieving on our own. His precious blood and innocent sufferings and death on the cross set us free from our sin. His glorious resurrection has opened the way of eternal freedom for us as a people of God. So with all due respect, as Christians, we can celebrate this independence we have, recognizing not only do we have a freedom of speech, a freedom of the press, a freedom of religion, but a freedom in the heart because of what God has done for us. Daniel Webster once said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to defend it. And that works not only with liberty, but that works with faith. God gives faith to those who are going to defend it, to hold it, to cherish it. Because if we let our faith slide, if we let our faith weaken. We fall away from that faith. We fall away from the Lord and our relationship with Him. We need to be on track with the people that God wants us to be individually so that we can be on track with what God would want for us as a nation belonging to Him. We sing the song, God Bless America. It's always at the ball game. Eighth inning, I think, is where that gets done. Seventh inning. That Cotton Eye Joe and take me out to the ball game, right? Always in the ball game. But God Bless America. Boy, I wish they'd do that at all these other games, but they do that in ball games at least. At least the Rangers do, and it's always a neat thing. I know pastors even who don't like the idea of singing God Bless America because their perception is that we're asking God to bless America but not necessarily bless all the other countries. No, it would just be a very long song if we named everywhere. We're not going to do that. They can sing their own version of God Bless Their Country, okay? But where we are, we want God to bless the country we're in at this time. And so that's what we do. But we do note, and even in songs like America the Beautiful, the second stanza, in the third line of the second stanza, it says, America, America, God mend thine every flaw. We're not perfect. We know that. Not in any way, shape, or form. We never have been. Again, no government, no country ever has had it right. But as Christians, we need to bring our moral values into the world and into the government. We need to not back away from the opportunities to serve. We need to take up the opportunities to serve and to be an influence again. Our nation was founded by people who believed in God. The first Congress, First Continental Congress, the first task done by the very first Congress was to elect a chaplain. The second act by the first Congress that ever existed on this continent by the rebels from England was to get 20,000 Bibles for the Native Americans, for the Indians. First and second acts were all about God. The people were about God. Our Washington prayer shows he was a person about God. They didn't all have it right about their views on God. Thomas Jefferson was kind of out there. Some of them were, but they did have a rally point in understanding they were a people of God. We need to get back to that and to continue to exercise Christian influence in public policy, lest we be pushed out and the world continue to go the direction it is, away from God in the laws of our country. After touring America in 1831, French writer Alexis de Tocqueville said this, "I sought for the greatness of America in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness of America in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Regardless of misconceptions, the term separation of church and state does not exist in the Constitution. We were a people gathered together with an understanding of God as being with us. And that's something we still need to do, be a people gathering together, understanding that God is with us and guiding us. And those words of even the French author, as he recognizes the greatness of America, comes through the faith of the people. May those words serve to challenge us as we continue to live in a troubled country and encourage us to listen to the words of Paul in our text, that we should honor God and that we should honor the governing authorities. And all of these with all due respect. A people under God, belonging to God, and a nation under God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.